Welcome to the Iced Tea Podcast, the podcast where we spill the tea on figure skating. My name is Megan.
My name is Netta. Hi, Megan. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. I'm just so stoked that we get to, like, do a real big event again.
We're talking about skating and the skating actually happened.
It did. Or did it?
Well, I'm not quite sure. It might have been a fever dream, but we saw some skating occur. And everyone saw the same thing. So if it was a hallucination, it was like everyone experiencing the same thing. So we can still talk about it and people are not going to be lost.
That's true. And thank God for that, you know, because whether it was a mass hallucination or it really happened, I think we really needed it. Even though, you know, like all the time we have to do our disclaimer of like, should it have happened? I don't know. Did people show up to the party with COVID? Yes. I don't know, man. It's been a mess of a year.
Yeah, it's been a lot, and there's only so many times we can say it. It happened. It seemed like the organizers in Stockholm did their best to keep it as streamlined as possible and safe as possible. So with that in mind...
Yeah, they even got Alexei Mishin to, like, sometimes have the mask pulled up over his nose, so...
Which, honestly, give them an award, that's an impressive feat.
That's a humanitarian feat. not to be confused with humanitarian feat, which is my OnlyFans, where I just donate all the money to... No, I can't do this bit. I can't.
Megan posts feed pics and all of the money goes to, like, building houses for people and, like, buying clean water.
Yeah, it goes
water.
To Habitat for Humanity.
Patreon.com/iced tea pod if you want us to donate some money for Habitat for Humanity.
Yeah, feet pics are not necessary.
We're off to a great start. We're 2 minutes into this.
Yeah, I know. We haven't talked about any skaters yet, but we have talked about feedie picks. Great. Let's quad axle right into this. We are talking about the ladies on this episode.
Yes, this is the women's event. We are covering the top six, which is chaotic because everything about this was chaotic. But I'm sorry, I'm going to go off script the second we start this. I know we said we're talking about top six, but I gotta start by talking about top 17, namely my homegirl, my rankmate, the incredible Alexandra Fagan, who is going to the Olympics. The last time Bulgaria had anyone figure skating at the Olympics was Denkovan Stavisky in 2006, and the last time we had a woman was in 1998, which was 4 years before Alexandra Fagan was even fucking born.
I'm sorry, that is the coolest thing ever, and also, handshake meme, Bulgaria, your weird, sad, drunk uncle at Christmas, the last time I had a woman was in 1998.
Correct.
I'm so, so happy for Sasha. And for you guys.
The day after at my rank was like it was Christmas morning. People were congratulating themselves with the Olympic quota as if any of us had anything to do with it.
You never know. Butterfly effect, you could have.
Yeah, who knows? I have many times avoided narrowly crashing into Sasha on the ice.
Literally, I was just going to say that. You kept her on her feet by not Tanya Harding her.
Yes, correct. Many, many, many small children have made sure she survives long enough to be at the Olympics next year. I'm thrilled. Let's talk about the top six.
And we are, because there's so many amazing skaters in the ladies' event and the men's event that we do really want to talk about. What we're going to do this month for our Patreon episode is sort of an extended, like, Snyder cut of the world's coverage. And we're going to talk about kind of everyone else we want to talk about, regardless of how they placed. But just for the sake of, like, keeping the main feed episodes a reasonable length, we're going to stick to top six as much as we can.
Cut to this episode being like an hour and 45 minutes.
I can't. Anyway, we're going to try. So if you want to check out all the extended coverage, we will plug our Patreon several times in this episode. So don't worry, you can't. It's unmissable. So shall we jump right in?
Yes. Yes, we must. In sixth place, Kari Sakamoto with an overall 205.7 points. And it was amazing.
It was. And you know, I think that it is pretty much a truth universally acknowledged that Kaori was robbed on some PCS and should have placed higher.
Oh, truly, yes.
Because I love Kaori. I, in the name of being super fair, think that there is a gradient of, like, is she fully performing balls to the wall, like, emoting and acting and doing all of the, you know, choreo to the max. Not always, but she super duper was at Worlds, like, no question.
Especially, like, and we gotta acknowledge, like, without an audience, blah, 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 blah. Especially doing her Matrix to just, like, 50 people in the stands who are, like, all her teammates and people from different feds. It doesn't have the same, and that goes for everyone, it doesn't have the same energy as performing for, like, I think the arena, the Ericsson Globe, can hold, like, 14,000 people or something on a good day. So, yeah, it's admirable for everyone who, like, found the hype of fan kicking over the judges to for no one.
I know on the technical side, there were some questions about her layout, and I guess she does have some issues with her Lutz edge, and why would she include this many Lutzes if she knows this is an issue? And I guess we can never know why skaters do anything they do. It's a mystery. We can ask when we hopefully get to interview Kaori someday.
Kaori, but, come on the pod.
Yeah, maybe she'll we can ask her at that point. But yeah, so there was that, but there was also, okay, so the new rules, not to be confused with the Dula Peep song, the new rules around rotation
one,
and
don't pick up the phone.
Don't pick up your free leg.
Which is the first mistake Kaori makes in her free skate, is she starts by picking up the phone, and Dua Lipa made it exclusively clear that you don't pick up the phone.
None of this is so funny.
Thank you, I'm a comedian.
I'm sorry, I just, like, I'm sorry to your ears when you have to go through this, because I just screamed so much, like,
I'm so happy. I'm so glad this is the bit we're choosing to die for here on this day.
Yeah, love Dula Peep, love Kaori Sakamoto. So
One.
Don't pick up the phone, but she did. No, the new rules around jumping. My God, how did we get this far? The new rules around jumping are they can now basically, like, there's, it used to be, and God knows I've lost so much gray matter this year in my brain that if there was ever a time when I fully had a handle on the rules, it's certainly not now. So, like, you listeners, you know what it's supposed to be. My understanding is, like, it used to be that, like, up to a quarter under rotation was fine, and, like, then it was under rotated. And now there's, like, separate categories for, like, Q as in, like, quarter under rotated, and then, like, under rotated.
And then, and just straight up downgrade it if it just doesn't happen.
Right, and they're fucking just deciding, as always, as with all rules, they're deciding when they want to, you know, bring down the fuck hammer and when they want to just pretend they do not see it. So Kaori got a lot of those kinds of calls that other people didn't necessarily get. And that's
interesting.
That's that on that.
Fascinating. There was something that was brought up in the Bulgarian Eurosport commentary as well, which was by Naiden Buryachev, who is my favorite. He is so good. So I'm going to bring him up a bunch because I watched most of it on TV. He was talking about as well with, like, edge coasts, or, like, whether it's a quarter under rotation or less or more. Sometimes it's also a matter of which camera the judging panel gets for the replays, like, which angle they're getting, which is why he was, like, so meticulous about pointing it out live. He would be like, oh, they might, like, check this one out as it's happening, and then you would see it on the repeats on a different camera, and he would be like, oh, see, now it looks clearer that this is what happened, which is fascinating, because I never, like, think about the judges as watching the screens, because they're there. So I assume they're just watching what's happening most of the time. But apparently the camera angles, like, also play into that, which is wild.
Yeah, that's crazy. I didn't really think about that either, but it makes perfect sense. And even more, you know, not to be, like, a conspiracy theorist, but, like, you know, even more excuses to be like, oh, well, I was just looking at this one. Well, I was looking at this one, you know?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Oh, for sure. It's such a good excuse to just be like, well, yeah, I was checking out camera number 7, and in that one, we were just looking at the stands, so who knows what happened. I just noticed, I'm looking at Kaori's protocols, and I just noticed that judge number 2 gave her 9.00 for skating skills. And I just want to say judge number 2 is correct. Oh, someone else gave her, judge number 7 gave her 9.25 for skating skills, and they're also correct.
Her skating skills are fucking ridiculous. Like, yeah. The running edge she gets off of her double axel, it's like you could drive a Mack truck through it. It's so long, and I love to see it. Like, it's just like power, and it's not, like, sometimes we think of power as the antithesis of, like, grace, right? Which is fucked up and whatever, but, like, with Kaori, she really has both, because if I even just picture her doing that, like, running edge out of a double axel, like, that's very easy and floaty and breezy and strong. So,
and beautiful cover girl. I really want to make a joke about getting a big boat through her double axel running edge, but I feel like that's, by the time we release this episode, the boat jokes are going to be so dead.
Didn't the boat get free?
It did, like, earlier today, and I'm devastated. I mean, it's good for, like, everyone in the world, but I just enjoyed the big boat.
It was nice to have something that we were all kind of, like, on edge, like, tracking, that wasn't, like...
Worlds.
Yeah, like, on a scale of, like world figure skating championships to, like, I don't know, sometimes I think of other events that we would all be, like, on edge of our seats watching, like, an election, or, like, are we gonna get nuked? Like, those things are too high stakes, but, like, a big fucking boat... That's good.
Well, yeah, it still was very dangerous for world commerce as a whole, but big boat is nice. You know what's also nice?
Oh my god, wait, no.
What?
No. Oh,
what?
Shit.
What?
Okay. The coolest fucking, like, goth crow just landed right outside my window, and it flew away before I could take a picture. I'm so devastated.
That's a good omen, though.
It might have been a raven. It was so big and, like, so metal looking.
Amazing. I think that's good for you as a person. What if that was Kaori's familiar coming to your house to remind you to get back on topic?
Yeah, I think it was. I think it was, like, come and talk about my mom, Kaori. Kaori also had a lot of pressure on her shoulders. And as we said, we're going to try to stick to the top 6. But we have to say Satoko Miyahara did not have a good time. And it was devastating, especially because it was her birthday weekend, Aries Queen.
It was weird because there were so many, like, sub-narratives going on during this event with, you know, like, Olympic quotas and everything else of, oh, well, if this person does slightly worse, it's so much more important for, like, their teammates to not just defend their personal honor, but also do the thing for the team. That was on Kaori's shoulders a lot. And Rika had a fine time. She was second in the short. She ended up in 7th, so spoiler alert, we're not going to talk about her here, but Kaori didn't know that this was going to happen at the time when she skated her free, so I don't know how that would have... I don't know. Kaori's just so good.
She is. And it, you know, through no fault of her own, it was just not a great time for the Japanese ladies, which you fucking hate to see.
Oh, deeply, yeah. You know what I do like to see? Here's a transition. Fucking Lona Hendricks from fucking Belgium did so fucking good.
Oh my god, she did. She did.
I've stanned her for years and, like, Euros and stuff, but I would never... It's not a commentary on her skating, but I would not have put money down on her being 5th at Worlds in 2021. And she is. And she was so good. She was beautiful. Both of her programs fucking slap. She came out with, like, so much confidence and stage presence. Also, I'm looking at her programs from the past couple of years, and I'm here to tell you that 2 years ago, her exhibition was New Rules by Dua Lipa.
Well, there you have it.
This is the global Dua Lipa conspiracy episode.
That's some future nostalgia right there. I really respect someone who's going to be, like, skating to 2 of the best singers of all time. Just, like, these are divas. These are 2 of the most famous singers of all time with the most gorgeous voices. And, like, she lived up to it. And that's the fear with, like, a Celine program or Beyonce program in general, is, like, you're not going to live up to the star power of that singer. But she really brought it to the table. It was incredible. I felt she just was so much better than I remember her being. She just was so
radiant.
We gotta
mention, she is recovering from injury. Like, that's why she was, like, on and off the past couple of seasons, and why she had kind of a tough time going in and all of that is because she was hurt. And coming back like this, especially after like the weird ass training season everyone's had, is amazing. This is so exciting for Euros and for like everything that's coming up next season, hopefully, for her.
Yeah, seriously. So that's really exciting. I'm curious to see if she continues to improve and like really make a splash at the Olympics too.
I would love that. Like if she ended up in a similar position, like top 10 at the Olympics, would be fucking incredible. And it's always exciting when it's like one of the less powerful federations as well.
Yeah.
I'm watching her free skate with the sound off right now, just because I wanted to look at her costume again for her free. It's so beautiful. It's like this black open back situation. She looks ready to go clubbing.
She just looks so stunning in the free, especially. It was like, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Stan Luna is a phrase I just invented.
Yeah, no one's ever said that before. No one's ever said that.
Yeah, no, I think
before.
It's, but it has a good ring to it, and I think it's going to catch on. You're going to hear it more and more.
Stan Luna.
So, who came in fourth place?
Who came in fourth? Motherfucking beautiful princess of the world, Karen Chen, came in fourth.
Holy shit. Remember back a few months ago when it was like, bitches were like, why would you send Karen to Worlds? This is why you send Karen to motherfucking Worlds.
If you want your third Olympic spot for the US ladies, you gotta send Karen to Worlds. It's just what you do. It's just how it's done.
And the fact that she's done that twice, it's like, how about we keep her in mind? How about we keep her in mind when we're selecting Olympics?
How about we just fucking send her to the Olympics. I mean, she did go to the Olympics last time.
I know, like, but let's send her again.
Send her again. Just keep going. I appreciate it. What else do we have to say about her? Her fucking butterfly program makes me emotional.
It does. Do you know the story of the butterfly lovers?
I don't. Tell me.
Oh my god, it's so good. Okay, I'm gonna butcher the shit out of this, so please just, like, everybody listening, just, like, Google it. But it's, like, I believe it's, like, of a Chinese folktale, and it's, like, it's very gay. It's like a Mulan-style situation where this girl who, like, goes and dresses up as a man to be a scholar, and then she falls in love with her scholar classmate, I think, and they, like, it's about their, like, romance, and then she's like, oh, you can marry my sister, and he's, like, so stoked about it, but then at the end, she's like, I am the sister, and he's like, oh my god, even better.
That's amazing.
It's so cute. It's, like, the cutest thing ever. I'm sure it's better. I know for 100,000% fact that it's better if you just read it, but the music is so beautiful, and it's, like, an actual, like, Chinese piece of music, and so in a world where we are getting so much, like, white people dancing to, like, fake, vague, non-specific Asian music and doing, like, Kung Fu Panda moves.
I'm tired.
I know. I am too. But Karen is just such a breath of fresh air. Literally, like, who has skating skills like Karen? Who is doing it like Karen? Who is gorgeous and flowy and sophisticated like Karen?
I know I'm not saying anything new here, but her spirals make me just emotional in such a special way. There's something about the way she, like, surrenders to that edge.
And smile.
Yeah, it's so beautiful. Also, I haven't brought up her short, but it's just because we've talked about it at length so many times.
Katy Perry, Jesus, Maya Angelou all came to Worlds this year. They were there for her.
Evoking the spirits of people such as Katniss Everdeen, Maya Angelou, and Jesus, of course, as per usual. Incredible. I will say, and I think I tweeted that at some point, we have made so many jokes about Katniss Everdeen, Maya Angelou, and Jesus, but I was scream singing along during the short. So I think it works. I think it's effective in what it does.
Yeah, I like it.
Yeah.
Karen made me like it. Karen can make me like pretty much anything. I think what I want to say, well, I'll say what I want to say because it's more of a global point.
Amazing.
But that was gorgeous. And it should be, it was very cute because it was our best friend Camden Polkinen's birthday over the weekend. And he made some cute tweet about how, like, that was a great birthday present for him, was Karen skating so well. And I was like, oh.
Fucking adorable. So
they're
cute.
They're so cute.
Yeah, God bless them. I hope they get to celebrate her incredible successes very soon after the respectable amount of quarantines and all of that.
So shall we get to the podium?
I'm staring down the barrel of this podium. Is this where we take a break? Do we take a break and then return refreshed and ready to tackle this?
Yeah, why not?
Welcome to Break.
Welcome to Break. If you want to hear all of our extra thoughts about everybody who's not in the top six, which is most people, just numbers-wise, where can you do that?
Patreon. That's on Patreon. That's patreon.com/iced-pod. You can hear us talk more about everyone in this event, and also you can hear about a year and a half's worth of other stuff that we've done for our wonderful patrons who keep our lights on. And it's a fun time. There's three ways to support us. There's three tiers, and all of that goes to help us and help us help people in need and help you have more fun with us, because like I said, there is a lot that you can see us and hear us do over on Patreon, and that's patreon.com/iced-pod.
Sure is. And if you want to help us for free, you can go to the podcasts app, the Apple podcast app, the purple thing, purple stuff. And you can, do you like my very, very old school Capri Sun reference?
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes, okay. Deeply.
Thank you. Okay. You can go to that, that purple stuff app, and you can rate us 5 stars and or leave us a nice review. And that costs you $0.
Yeah. You can leave us any comment you like. The algorithm just enjoys knowing that you're out there. So just tell us anything about your life, frankly. Leave us 5 stars. We're going to enjoy it. It's going to be great for everyone involved.
Tell us a secret you've never told anyone before.
We're not going to judge, I promise.
Everyone will see it, but we won't judge you.
Also, like, you can make your nickname something very obscure. No one's going to know it's you. It's going to be so, like, refreshing to get that off your chest.
Yeah, we're not. It's like the Whisper app, but, like, without the without the stupid pictures.
So anyway, you can also find us on Twitter if you want to see us retweet Whisper app memes. We're gonna talk about that at the end of the show. Megan, do you want to tell us about your cool TTRPG career as an awesome content creator?
Oh yeah, sure. Yeah. So if you guys are interested in space or in audio dramas that are based, that are like TTRPGs, if you're interested in D&D, I am a player on a new podcast. I guess it's not very new anymore, but it's sort of new. A podcast with the Majestic Goose Network called Eclipse. It is sort of like Star Trek meets D&D, and it's honestly, it's so much fun. The episodes that there's like a handful of episodes we've recorded that haven't come out yet that are really, 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 really good that you guys should really look forward to. So check that out at wherever you get your podcasts, at Eclipse, a Dungeons & Dragons podcast. And I think it's on Twitter at Eclipse Pod.
Amazing. Go check that out.
Is there anything you want to plug?
I might drop a live stream for an event on the 25th of April. It is my first figure skating competition, and I think it's going to be streamed. So follow me on Twitter. You might get to see me fall on my singles.
You absolutely must. Netta's not going to fall on their singles. And you can hear, I cut the music for that program. So you're supporting both of us. It's me putting my money where my mouth is every time I shit on Daniil.
Honestly, Megan cut the music. The music's incredible. And I made my own dress. And my dress is also incredible.
Literally,
so we're
like,
both proving points.
The dress is unbelievable. So no one can ever say, like, we're those people who just sit back and criticize and don't actually have the skills.
Yeah, well, there's skills that we don't have. Let's go back to the meat of this episode. Now talk about
all the skills
quads,
we don't
which
have.
I don't have.
Yeah. Space. The final frontier.
Mayday alert. We are under attack.
Oh, blarney. I kind of watch the tube for 10 seconds.
Rerouting auxiliary power to abjuration shields.
Someone get on those cannons, we've got company.
Are you looking for a Dungeons & Dragons sci-fi fantasy space adventure? Then what you are looking for is Eclipse. Join our crew every other week as we struggle to keep the galaxy safe. With Dr. Shepard, the Illithid cleric.
Space pirates. That was wild.
Ava Elkin, the human monk.
If we play our cards right, we might not be totally screwed.
Lita Nove, the ASMR bard.
We should be arriving in Amaron in about 2 hours.
Info O Scott, the Warforged Artificer.
All right, I'm just going to go ahead and fire the sonic cannon here.
Kanan Vargas, the tiefling sorcerer.
Does anybody else think this is like a super aggressive move?
And I'm Jeremy Fair. I will be your dungeon master. Eclipse can be found on Spotify, Apple Music, or anywhere you like to get your podcasts.
Megan? Megan, it comes as no surprise that this is an all Russia podium.
You know, it comes as no surprise if you just say all Russia, but I think the specifics of who's on it is a little...
Exactly. Yeah. Yes. So it's spicy, because it is. Oh, Russia, whatever. We've seen it so many times over the past, like, year, 2 years, 5 years, a billion years. This is a spicy podium, though. Oh, so it's not Russia. It's the Figure Skating Federation of Russia, FSR, because of doping shit.
I thought it was so funny, like, Jackie Wong Rocker Skating did... Oh, that's his full Christian name.
Jackie Rocker Skating Wong.
Jackie Rocker Skating Wong, Chicken Tenders the Third, did a bunch of really fun like live streams that they're still on his Instagram, which I think you can go check out. So I was watching them after the fact, but he was just like doing a stream of consciousness, just kind of like talking head analysis of just every event as it was happening and then like afterwards. And it was really fun. He was explaining why they were FSR and he was like, it's their punishment with air quotes. And it was so funny.
Yeah, because they still get the podium and they still get the medals. And correct me if I'm wrong, their flag was still flown at the event. It's just, oh, we're not going to say the word Russia.
Yeah, and they
How
played...
How do you feel about it now?
Well, and they played Tchaikovsky instead of the anthem, which, like, do I know the Russian anthem? No, but it's hard to imagine anything better than Tchaikovsky, so is that really a punishment?
Yeah, it's like, we're gonna make you stand here and listen to Tchaikovsky, and we're not going to put your flag up on our graphics. Stop taking, like, enhancing whatever's... I was going to say medicine, but it's not medicine.
I'm not really into drugs, but if I was and somebody was like, stop taking them or else we're going to play Tchaikovsky for you. I don't think that would be very convincing.
It's like a brand new like rehab program where the only thing, the only threat that you're facing is you can continue doing what you're doing, but we're going to take away your Spotify and instead we're just going to make you listen to Tchaikovsky.
That sounds nice. Like, what if it was Christmas and it was just the Nutcracker? That would be dope.
Yeah. Yeah, I am not opposed to, like, a nice Tchaikovsky moment at my next very hardcore drug-infused party.
That's a theme for a party.
Yeah, you do, like, a Nutcracker-themed party. Your next, like, Christmas bash at your 9-to-5 is a Tchaikovsky drug party. Can we call this episode the Tchaikovsky drug party?
No, we can't. No, but I wish we could. We can put it in the description. Although, I don't know, are we allowed to say drug in the thing?
The Tchaikovsky medicine party. So anyway.
Wait, okay, Tchaikovsky medicine party is a fucking dope name for a bluegrass band, but.
or like an EDM producer.
Why not both? Okay, so let's stop pussyfooting around the subject. We got to talk about these Russian ladies. In third place, winning the bronze medal, is Alexandra Trusova.
Good for her. I mean, the plan worked. She was 12th in the short program. And then she pulled her bullshit and she was first in the free. And this is where we ended up. It was delightful. I will once again shout out my man, Naiden, from Eurosport, who very blatantly just said her and her team very clearly had a plan. And this is how the plan worked out. It was supposed to be skate a very clean short and then take all the risks in the free and figure it out. What happened was she didn't do a clean short, she didn't do a clean free, and the math still fucking added up.
You know, I want to say this world's more so, I think, personally, than any other event I have seen under the new judging system really showed where it starts to break down. Because, you know, I don't know how many of y'all who listen are like into RPGs, but we very much are. And I always think of Sasha Trusova as like an extremely min-maxed skater, which is like in RPGs, it's like when you put all of your skills into one area rather than trying to be well-rounded, which when you explain it like that, it's like, yeah, that's, I mean, of course, you know, and it's things like that that lead to, you know, finding loopholes and rules and like doing things that the rules were not really designed to accommodate. So yeah, it was very shocking in the short program to see her.
She missed a combo. The short was nothing to write home about. It was like a double axel. Then her flip was questionable. Then she missed a combo on the Lutz. It was just a nothing program.
It's a shame to me because the short, ever since she moved to Plushenko's camp, the short was really, I thought, where she had shown a lot of improvements in, like, skating skills and even, like,
we praised it extensively earlier in the season. We were both raving about it, if you remember, at some point.
Yeah, and I think it's not really a dig at her, because I think almost any skater would have a really hard time keeping up with the PCS side of things if they, like, beefed the technical stuff that hard.
Mm. Oh, you don't have to worry about that. The lowest PCS score she was given in her short program was 8.25, and she did score some nines up there, so, you know.
It's just fucking insane to me. It's insane to me. Like, she, it's insane, and we know this. We know that we don't think that she has the skating skills or the artistry. I don't think that's, like, a controversial take at this point.
I do want to quickly mention that the spine of that dress, like, the spine situation of that dress, if I ever get married, I want that on my wedding dress. I think it's amazing. And I think it could be so, like, metal and effective if it wasn't getting lost in watching, like, the precarious shit that's happening around it.
Yeah, I don't understand why it is Romeo and Juliet, and I super don't care, because I think, first of all, every Shakespeare show has been done in every number of different ways, so I guarantee you that some high school, if not several, have done all skeletons goth Romeo and Juliet.
Necromancer Romeo and Juliet.
Like, I'm not even, that's literally not even a stretch.
Oh, so known as Gideon the Ninth.
Yeah, oh, we gotta finish that. It's that it's that Onion article that was like, Revolutionary Shakespeare Company decides to set the play in the time period and space it was, like, written
yes.
in.
Yes. No. It's like, it takes place in the 1400s in Verona.
What?
Wow.
I love...
Amazing.
I love a weird Shakespeare, though, so, like, I can't say anything. I just like to dunk on my own people. But that said, I would like it if she brought anything story-wise to that. Like, skeletons or non. Dress, incredible.
Yeah.
The dress makes me wish I had a spine tattoo, but I can't, because I already have a skull tattoo on my back, and that would create some sort of awful homunculus, like... situation.
What if you shave your head and you get a skull tattoo, like, on your skull of a spine?
Zag on him.
And then you just have, like, this broken skeleton all over your body, but it's just, like, mismatched skeleton parts.
Yeah, it's like a Highlights magazine puzzle.
Yeah, one day when you're long gone, someone can, like, rearrange your skin into a new skeleton. I'm sorry, I've been sick for a month. This is where I'm at.
Someday when you're long gone, someone can rearrange your skin is a lyric from Tchaikovsky Medicine Party's debut album.
Produced by Andrew Hosier.
Anyway, I think the reason that, aside from all the ADHD floating around in this podcast, I think the reason we're having a hard time really focusing on Sasha is that I just don't know what I can say about this that's original. I'll try as succinctly
and
as...
And not mean.
I don't even think... I don't have a mean thought in my head about Sasha Trusova at this point, because I like her and I like what she does. I'm mad at the judges for giving her high enough PCS and I'm mad at the judging system that she can come back from 12th to 3rd on literally just a jumping show where she missed half of them, but it was okay. And that's it. That's not really her fault.
It is not, but it is the fault of the entire system, and I'm tired of it. You cannot, in good conscience, tell me that anyone else in the world, and I'm counting even the boys, like, I'm counting, like, Yuzu and Nathan and everyone else, you cannot tell me anyone else could skate out, fall in 5 quads or, like, 4 quad attempts. There's, let me count, 5 quad attempts in this here shit show, and then get skating skills in the range of 825 to 925 at the same time. It makes me feel like I'm insane.
Yeah.
When it felt like, especially in this here event, in across the board in all 4 disciplines, it felt like the judges have just discovered program components is just, like, a thing they can wave their hand at and be like, we want this person to be first, so, like, 4 more points of PCS, I guess.
It's like they view it as Miss Congeniality, and they're like, oh, we can just, it's just vibes.
It's fucking, I don't want to bring up local transphobe J.K. Rowling, but it's fucking Dumbledore realizing that Gryffindor is not gonna win and being like, and then 15 points for friendship.
Oh my god, 15 points because Neville looked cute in his pajamas. That's literally exactly what it is. Oh my god.
Yeah, that's the PCS. That's how judges are using PCS.
Hey, handshake meme. JK Rowling. Many of the Russians, very publicly, transphobic and just giving points to people who don't, just because they want to.
Fuck! Yes, correct. I'm sure it exists. Has anyone written a Harry Potter figure skating AU? I'm sure someone has. Let me know. I'm not going to read it, but I want to know.
I almost find it more likely that it's the other way around. Like, I'm sure someone's done, right? Like a figure, like a thing.
Oh,
where...
I've seen Johnny Weir Harry Potter slash
fiction. Yeah, I was going to say, I thought you had found one at one point.
Yeah, don't ask me how I ended up there, but... There is a universe in which Harry Potter, I think that particular piece of fanfiction was Harry Potter, like, retires from the world of magic because he's over it and he's been deeply traumatized. He moves to the US and he gets into figure skating.
I'm okay with Johnny Weir being Harry Potter because that to me is transgressive. Johnny Weir is gender, you know what I mean?
I adore him deeply. Speaking of not Johnny Weir or Harry Potter, I hate this. I hate it here. I hate that. Wait, no. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm not going to keep bitching. Here's the take we're going to have now, Megan. I want to bring up to your attention that the ISU had to repost their celebratory tweet about Sasha winning bronze. And I'll tell you why. I'm going to read you the two versions of this. Because ISU, dearest, I did take them screenshots.
You have the receipts, and I am so freaking proud of you for getting them.
So here's what happened. You know, like ISU always does the thing where they fire off their like pre-written celebratory tweets as soon as like the event is done. So they tweet like with a bronze third medal emoji. What a comeback. Alexandra Trusova nails her technical component to win the free skating and rise to win bronze medal overall in the ladies at the ISU World Figure Skating Championships. They had fucking ratioed. Like, hard. Because nails her technical content is extremely rich. And then they delete it. It's up for like about 7 minutes. And then they delete it and they say, what a comeback. Alexandra Trusova goes for 5 quads and a huge technical score to win free skating and rise to win bronze overall, blah, 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 blah. But going from nails her technical content to goes for 5 quads and a huge technical score is so blatant. I keep using this word and I know I should not be using it lightly, but I keep thinking that ISU is like genuinely gaslighting us and expecting us to like pretend we do not see it. Like, if they didn't get ratioed on that first tweet, they would not have deleted it. They would have just been like, she nailed it! It was good!
She nailed it in the sense of that show about bad cakes.
That show's so good, though. Can we get Nicole Byer into figure skating? Can we get her to, like, commentate figure skating? I think that would be incredible.
Yes, but I'm afraid that if we got someone as funny as Nicole Byer into this, that we would be out of work.
Yeah, I feel like JVN's already, like, tiptoeing into our territory. We can't afford more like funny Netflix people.
That's true. Okay, here's the crazy thing that I'm glad you brought that up. First of all, I'm glad you brought up that she won the free skate because we haven't said that yet. And because I think it's very easy to be like, okay, if she did an amazing technical job that was really ambitious and like worked out okay and she had a comeback and like whatever third feels right. Okay, I can buy that. But to win the free skate, just looking at that feels fucking insane. If you just look at the free skate.
Yeah, there's nothing new that we can possibly say about this, right? Because we've said it time and time again. It's just a different sport if the sport is traveling across the ice and every once in a while doing a jump.
Yeah, I will
like,
say...
It's not...
No, go ahead.
I'm tired.
Yeah, no, I
will... No, that's it. That's it. I'm looking at the protocol and there are so many minuses and like less than signs and exclamation points. If this was anyone else in the world, this would look disastrous. And here we're talking about a bronze medal with worlds.
Yeah, I guess I'm like, I have a few questions. One, I don't know who would be the most qualified to figure this out, to be honest. Like, I don't know who would be unbiased enough to figure this out, maybe scientists, but I just all any and all scientists,
just like get a physicist in here.
I want to know if it's harder to eat shit on a quad or land a perfect triple. Like, I want an analysis of that.
I feel like purely from like a physics point of view, and don't quote me on this because I did very much fail physics in 11th grade, falling from a quad would be way harder, just because I know that, like, people who jump quads have said in interviews and stuff that it feels like getting hit by a car when you fall from a quad. So I can respect taking five of those falls and, like, still doing a program.
I don't mean harder as in, like, harder on you, but I just mean, like, in terms of difficulty points. Like, should going for a quad and then not landing it get you that many more points than landing a perfect triple, is my question.
No, it should not. And that's where the system's fucking broken, is that the base value of a quad flip is 11 points, and even if you eat shit a bunch, you're still gonna, like, if your GOE is minus whatever, you're still gonna get. Okay, so I'm looking at the thing. Her quad sal, base value 9.7, GOE minus 4.7, that's still 5 points. Like, it's still, because you've gone for the big, brave, like, daring move, which is bullshit. Like, anyone, you could do what that amazing guy did at the Universiade and just lie on your planned content and be like, all of those were meant to be quads.
A king.
Yeah, you could just be like, my layout for my program as it stands right now, I open with a single cell, single toe combo. I could be like, oh yeah, that was meant to be a quad triple. Just give me the base value and, like, minus 7 GOE and let's see what happens.
I think it's interesting that they keep adding all these, like, bells and whistles and tweaks and additional rules and add-ons and shit to the rules. And in reality, I think maybe what's most broken is just the base value system.
Yeah, just fix it. It doesn't make sense. Like, the quad lutz triple toe is 16 points. It's 15.7, but we know. We agree on this. The thing is, we're getting, from the world, from commentators, from everyone, we're getting two different narratives. One of the narratives is, it's amazing to be as daring as Alexandra Trusova and go for it and, like, be resilient and fall five times and still keep going, or four times. And then, spoiler alert, Sherbakova wins without any of those bells, whistles, and, like, incredible, like, quad bullshit. And commentators and people on the internet and everyone's like, oh, you see, after all, we didn't need those fancy jumps to win because we're just that fucking good. And it's like, which story do you want me to believe?
Yeah,
true. Because we're getting told, like, both of them at the same time. And yeah, it's like, either we're going to be pro advancing the sport and everyone jumps quints, or we're going to be like, oh, look, after all, the person who won just won with, like, a beautiful double axel and whatever else.
Yeah, and this is, like, getting ahead a little bit. I think based on the skates that were skated and, like, the way the points all stacked up, I don't think Sherbakova shouldn't have won, but, like, my own personal feelings aside, it I don't think I could make an argument that anyone else should have won ahead of her, but I do think that, like, it's insane to frame her victory as a triumph of, like, non-quads, when in reality, the reason that she has all this clout and all of this, like, PCS buffering and whatever is because of the quads that she and her teammates have done in the past. And she did do quads in the free, or at least, like, one, I think, but, like, just not.
She did one, and it didn't go good.
Oh, she didn't land any. Okay, well, anyway, the final thing I want to say, just before we move on from Trusova, I just always, as we brought up the whole, like, ISU tweet thing, I always feel bad about getting too bitchy about, A, the concept that any kind of, like, large organization, PR, social media is pre-writing anything, and B, the idea that anybody who's in charge of firing those off could make mistakes, because, like, we all make mistakes, and yeah, it's just industry standard that you have some things, you know, whatever, like, pre-written. But I do think it's telling that what was pre-written about her was the assumption that she was gonna land all five quads, because, like, whence has she done that recently?
It's truly never once happened.
Maybe in, like, juniors.
Yeah, but it's never been, like, she's had better skates, she's had cleaner skates, we've all seen it, and it's incredible when it happens, but she's never had a clean program with five quads. Like, I would love to see that, and I'm not saying that, like, ironically or, like, with sarcasm. I genuinely would. It's just, yeah, it's what you said. It's very telling what the narrative that we were prepared for from a PR point of view was already. And this is not on, like, the poor, like, yeah, ISU social media manager who had to tweet those, because God knows they probably don't get paid enough for the amount of horrible comments they read from people, so.
No, and, like, it's at least the fact that they did prepare for and then go through with a narrative where her tech score is what's impressive about her. Because I can appreciate, as somebody who's always, like, just, like, what's the positive thing I can tweet about this skater? It's like, yeah, hers is yeah. her technology. What the fuck is wrong with me? Her technological score points. Yeah. So, I mean, that's what I have to say about her. I think
this is enough.
This is enough for me.
Can we talk about the winner of the popular vote of this entire event?
We absolutely can.
Coming up second, winning silver at Worlds in the year of our good Lord 2021 is the Empress herself, the fighter who did return. Lisa took to Misheva.
And you know, it's a little bit of a monkey's paw because it's like, oh, you wanted Lisa to win. Well, how about she does it with one of her programs being something that is just so hard to get behind?
Yeah, I hate this program deeply. I hope she doesn't decide this is the way to go into her Olympic season next year.
I miss Electro Swing Liza. I miss Jazz Liza.
I just anything else. Honestly, anything else. And but. Okay, in case any genies or, like, fae folk are listening, by Trickster anything God. Else, I mean anything else, it would be acceptable for her. I don't mean make her ditch this free and, like, give her oriental selections or, like, whatever else. Just anything else.
Yeah, now, God forbid we get too far into this kind of discourse again. I want to say, like, once you think of, like, okay, what's a pro... I think, especially in light... I mean, whatever, she's Russian. Maybe she doesn't know what's going on in the U.S., especially from as an American or a person who's, like, up on the U.S. news. It just feels, like, especially bad to, like, appropriate Asian culture in the cultural moment we're having now with all the violence, but also just all the time. But I will also say, like, you know, there's the question of, like, well, it's by a Russian composer. So it's, like, why would that be better? Like, I wonder if anybody on her team thought that would be better. Because to me, it's worse. I would have preferred her doing, like, Butterfly Lovers or something that's authentic as opposed to, like, 9 degrees of separation and filtered through other people's ideas of what other people's culture are.
I can 100% guarantee you that was not a conversation that her team was having at all. Source, I'm Slavic. I think it was different. It was, well, Liza enjoys quote-unquote Asian culture and she would have fun with this. Also, oh my god, a local, like, Russian composer has done this piece. Let's use that because it's Russian. So it's both weirdly fetishistic towards all of Asia and also, like, catering to, like, the weird nationalist inclinations of especially the older people on her team who would be like, well, it's a Russian composer, so it's the best possible composer. So I think they were thinking that they were reaching, like, a very incredible middle ground there.
I think, you know, like, absolute most charitable best case, like, everyone's heart was in the right place and people were just a little stupid. It's just that ultimate, that thing of, like, other people's cultures that are very different from ours as far as we in the popular imagination conceive of them are so far removed that they are not, like, a way that actual humans just like us live. They are, like, costumes and genres.
Yes.
This is, like, a wider conversation about so many things. I think we can try all we want to set up, like, really granular rules of, like, who can and who can't and what's okay and what's not. And we can make statements that are true enough of the time that they serve as okay rules of thumb. But ultimately, it's something you really have to sense. You know, it's like, you know, what's the difference between Lisa skating to Oriental Selections? That's what it was called, right?
Yeah, not hers, but yeah.
Oh, that someone was, else's someone was. Else's. Yeah, and Lisa skating to, like, an American pop song that is technically a different culture, but, like,
there's a difference between something that's created by someone from any culture and a thing that's representative of the culture. Because the difference would not be what's the difference between that. It would be what's the difference between skating to Britney, Free Britney, and skating to, like, a Native American prayer chant.
Yes.
You don't need a very deep cultural understanding and respect for a culture to understand something that's made for a wide audience, like a pop song.
Yeah, I guess what I'm trying to get at, I think, is that the reason that these conversations always end in just giving examples of what would and wouldn't be okay is that it's really hard to come up with hard and fast rules. And at the end of the day, it's situational and you just have to feel it out.
Yeah.
And I just, and there's an unfortunately, you can't directly teach people how to feel it out. You have to teach them about context and history and culture. And then that imbues them with a sense Correct. Of better instincts about that. But, you know, who has the time when you're the Empress, right? Or an amazing figure skater. I don't know. So it just, in a lighter note, I was laughing a lot thinking about, like, how funny it would be if, in the same way that she has, like, this... I still can't read the kanji on her back. Please tell me if anybody else can.
Boldly assuming it's a real kanji, of course.
It looks real. It looks like it could be real, but it's hard to read. So I don't even know what it says, but it would just be really funny if, like, the shoe was on the other foot. Like, somebody skated out from, like, an Asian country with just, like, a word on them. like an English word.
First of all, I think that's brilliant. Secondly, I'm just thinking about, like, Rika or someone in full, like, Slavic folk garb-inspired costume skating to, like, a Russian folk song or, like, one of them old, like, Russian standards. The idea of, like, Rika Kihara, like, skating to fucking Million Alley Rose with the word Dievochka on her back is hilarious.
Yeah. Well, and it's like, as long as we're talking about the relationship between Lisa and other, you know, skaters of Asian descent, that warm-up group was like her, Rika, Karen, and then was it Kaori? I forget. It was like her and like a bunch of Asian, of amazing Asian or Asian American skaters, many of whom were skating to like actual Asian or Asian American stuff. So that was interesting. And to me would have been fucking embarrassing.
I would feel weird if I were in her place. However, she didn't have time to think about that because honestly, it was weird. Like watching her in that kiss and cry after her free was very moving because, well, first of all, we all know how hurt she was last time she didn't make the world's team. Iconically, inside of her was a little girl who still naively believed we killed her, but she is a fighter and she will return. She did return very much. Is that Lisa is always so composed and she does like emote in a kiss and cry and stuff, but she hasn't in recent years like really shown emotion, even when she's like been upset and she's taken to Twitter and Instagram to tell us that she's upset. We have not seen her cry or anything in years, and seeing her like be moved by her score was very nice.
Yeah it was. And so I think it's time to transition to, you know, what there's a lot to like about Liza, especially her winning silver at Worlds, especially in light of everything else that's been going on in her federation and her career. So I think, you know, it's like it's not like forgivable to do insensitive fucked up program if just because we like you, but there it's you know, it's not the only aspect going on here, and I would like to talk about the ways in which she is like
the Empress.
She is the Empress. She's the first non-teen Russian lady single skater to podium since like the 90s or something, right?
That's fucking grim.
It's grim.
It's scary. And it's one of the many reasons I think that the conversations about raising like the minimum age for seniors might be good for everyone involved. I'm not gonna say more about that because I feel like that's an entire like off-season episode we could do. But that's scary, especially given the fact that she's been getting better.
Yeah. I was talking with a music friend of mine. We were talking about how, like, even if you had, like, your prime where you were, like, practicing all the time or you were in music school or something in your, like, early 20s or something, in some ways, even if you're a little rustier now, you're probably still better just because you have more years under your belt and time always improves certain things.
Oh, for sure.
I was thinking about that conversation as we think about Lisa, because when I see an older skater, there's just a different sense of control and ease, and that's across the board. It's, of course, there's a point at which maybe, you know, your body turns on you and you can't do what you wanted to do when you were like 17. But even if you looked at like an 80-year-old skater who had been skating their whole lives, there's a sense of ease there that you're not going to get from like Anna Shcherbakova.
Yeah, it's just about having been with your instrument, in this case, your skates, for longer physically. There is no way to negotiate linear time. Like if you spend more time on anything, you're going to understand it better.
Yeah, and linear time and not just hours accrued, because you can work 40 hours a week and it's still not going to be exactly the same as if you work like 10 hours a week for 4 years. It's just a different...
Yes, because you also need, like, especially with physical skill, I guess with like anything you learn, but with physical skill, you need time for the movement that you're doing to settle in your brain and your bones and your muscles.
I've been having a really similar experience recently because I recently picked up Final Fantasy VII again for the first time since like 2004, 2005. And gun to my head, I could not tell you anything that actually happens next. But then like every time I go into a new thing, I'm like, oh, that's what happens next. That's where I have to go. And I just, I want to say it's exactly the same as
it
being a world-class Olympic level figure skater who's silver in the world and me playing Final Fantasy VII on my couch.
I'm not even going to do a bit because I think that the philosophy behind it is the exact same.
Oh, I'm doing a bit, but I appreciate you.
No,
I appreciate you.
I know. I know you were, but I think you just accidentally made a very good point.
Like this, but unironically. Okay, so all this to say, I don't think it's any surprise that we're really, really stoked that Lisa kind of proved, she had a lot to prove, and it wasn't just on herself.
Mm.
I don't know how much she was thinking, I'm sure she was, about proving something on behalf of, like, women skaters who are older than a teenager.
Oh, she did! Her tweet. Did you see her tweet?
I did, but I wasn't sure if it was just a translation thing, but you would know much better than me.
I'm trying to pull it up Instagram. No, it's very much in the original Russian as well. She was like, this is a win for women. And I was like, I just think that women...
Yeah, for real. I do want to talk a little about our short program because that was also amazing and not racially appropriative. She had triple axels in both the short and the free. The one in the short was like perfect, right?
Yeah, the one in the short was good. And also the second one in the free was also good.
Yeah, they were a little squeaked out, like three turned occasionally. And she did kind of, she screwed up on like a non triple axel jump in the short, which I think took her really by surprise.
Yeah, I think that was... her flip was just, she started off so strong with the axel and then it was like, oh God, what is happening? But it worked. Like overall, I want to talk about, well, two things. I want to talk about the genius of just wearing, well, black mesh. We all know I enjoy that, but just like full tummy out for worlds in a mini skirt and a bra doing your short program. I think it's genius.
That's power.
Unironically.
That is power.
Compared to like everyone in their like airbrushed like sequin gowns, I think it's super fun to be like, no, I'm just wearing this club outfit and I'm still gonna fucking podium.
I don't know if this is too personal, but I think that it's probably true of a lot of people that they can kind of relate to, I guess, saying like, this is not a flavor of femininity that I really vibe with, so I'm gonna bring my own to the table. Mm. Like...
Yes.
I really appreciate that she's doing that on such a world stage, literally, where there is like a hyper feminine aesthetic. I think it's very cool.
Yes. She is dedicating it to all women in figure skating, and it's inspiring. I had something else to say, but I'm now thinking about just her power and influence, and I'm lost. Oh, yes, I remember. I just looked at her PCS and I remembered. Can we talk about the ending of her short program? Which is about as genius as a throwback to 2018, Sofia Samodurova's finger guns.
Yeah, talk me through this.
When she stops and she just does like the wrist spinny thing.
Mm-hmm. It's like a little flourish.
Yeah, like the little flourish, but she's not. It's one of those occasions, and we've talked about this before. This is your theory of Lisa's quality of movement. It looks like she's extremely aware that she's not a good dancer. It's delightful.
Yeah, I think that's like, aside from all of the weird stuff that we already talked about with the free skate, I also think that part of the reason it doesn't work as well for me is that it doesn't really let her do what she does best. Like, of course you could say maybe she only does like one kind of thing best, but it's so good that I think you should just let her do it all the time, because what's the alternative?
Correct.
Like just awkwardly going through something else?
Yeah, I wouldn't want her... I wouldn't want to see her do, like, Swan Lake or something, because it won't work with her style. Like, we know what works for her, and there is many flavors in which it could be cool. Just let her be, like, a shitty dancer who, like, is really feeling her fantasy.
Yeah, if she was, like, 15, I'd be like, let's make sure that she gets the education in lots of different genres, but she's not. She's, like, 25, right? So I just, like, let her do what she's really, really good at.
Yeah, especially, like, on a world stage. Let her do her weird little hand gestures.
Because otherwise, I think it doesn't feel like Lisa. And that's, I guess, the free didn't feel like Lisa, not only because she's a white lady doing an Asian program, but, you know... It just didn't, I didn't get to see the things that made her heart. Something that I've been thinking about a lot, which maybe this is the time to bring it up. I was going to bring it up earlier. Maybe this is the time. So once again, shout out to Jackie for being really insightful. On his Instagram, he made a comment after the men's event that the reason that he finds men's figure skating really exciting right now is that every single one of the top like 10 or so guys has such a distinct point of view and such a distinct brand mm-hmm. that no one else could yes. do that skate. And that's absolutely correct. True. And so then I'm thinking, well, I don't think that's not true of the women. I don't think that's totally untrue of the women, but I think it's just not 100% true. And especially this season, and I think an example would be Lisa, who any other season I would have been like, you can't tell me Lisa doesn't have a brand. You can't tell me Lisa doesn't have a point of view. But I didn't see that like sassy yeah. kind of, right? It's like the most charismatic, awkward person at the party. I didn't see that as much this year. So
yeah, I think I worry a little bit. I hope I'm wrong with the men as well. I really hope that given that next year is an Olympic year and we all know that that's special, I really hope that we don't just get a shit ton of like Rachmaninoffs because everyone's like, well, it's the Olympic year, I better do XYZ, which like guarantees me an Olympic performance, because it's true. And the Bulgarian commentary on Eurosport also brought the same thing up with the men, which we are going to talk about more next week. The fact that like you could not make them trade programs and still have it work because it's so much about like the quality of like stage presence.
Absolutely. And I think I would also say that it's not entirely the skaters and the choreographers whatever fault. I think that as the women are judged, I don't think that that level of specificity and originality is encouraged in the scores yeah. as much as it is in the men's. I think part of the reason that we always think Kaori is underscored is that we really recognize her specific quality of movement as good and unique in a way that the judges are just like, nah.
Yeah, and again, I keep reciting Bulgarian commentary. After her Matrix, during the replays, Naiden on Eurosport was very much like, I just didn't get it, and I don't think this is as exciting as... I don't remember who had skated before her, but he was comparing programs, and he was like, I just don't think in terms of program components this is as good. And I was like, are you using your eyes, sir? Because it is something that I enjoy personally as a style. But I think it's one of those interesting conversations about gender and figure skating where, like, it's the same thing as, like, how the sport might be subversive for boys and men because it's more feminine than other sports because it's beautiful and it's dancey, while with women it's so classical and it's encouraged to be like classical and balletic mostly, and that's hyper feminine. I'm not saying that like feminine good and masculine bad,
but the judges kind of are, is what I think.
Yeah, I don't think the judges would be happy if one of the ladies skated out in like a pair of jeggings and skated a Michal Brugina.
Well,
it just would not be appreciated.
Yeah, shout out to who was it, Yvette Toth from Hungary?
Yes, but even she doesn't do it in like jeans and a white t-shirt. Like, a girl would not be accepted. Like, you could not, no girl in the world, the Russians included, could skate out the way the boys do, the men do. And I'm picking on Mick, and we all know that I deeply respect him. But, like, no one could be, like, I'm wearing my white t-shirt and my jeans, and here's a program. No one would, like, give it a time of day.
Yeah, it's very silly in that way. So I don't know. I guess it's a little bit of a tangent, but I think, you know, God forbid we ever go on a tangent. But anyway, I mean, I think it's just really, it's another thing I will say is that I've heard people really ding Lisa's skating skills. And I wonder if I have an incorrect idea of what people mean by skating skills, because I always associate skating skills with like deep edges and like just, I don't know, like power and ease and speed and all those things that I would generally associate with like what we were saying with like an older skater who just looks comfortable on the ice. And to me, like, Lisa has that more than a lot of people. Am I wrong to think that she would have really good skating skills?
You're not wrong. Like, that's what skating skills should be. However, having spoken to like older coaches and people with my rank and stuff, and like especially Slavic people with my rank, it's the same conversation that we're having. It comes into play with skating skills as well. It's like, on paper, yes, what you're saying is skating skills, but what we're looking for when it comes to skating skills with the ladies is like grace and balletic poise and like how pretty does it look, which could be different. Like, it could be slightly different than she's very fast and very strong.
Sometimes
like older people would be like, well, she's so fast and so strong, and where's the beauty in that? And it's like, well, it's in the amount of fucking skating skills that go into it. But it's like trying to get, like, I don't know, like, ballet teachers to rate breakdance competition. It's like, they're not gonna look for the same stuff.
Yeah, my least favorite genre of YouTube videos that YouTube constantly thinks I want to see. Voice teachers listen to K-pop. I don't care.
I get those so often.
Me too.
And it's always like, voice teacher reacts to clearly successful person doing their thing, and it's like, I don't care about what, like, Mary from the community center has to say about this.
I hate, like, opera singer reacts to pop, or, like, ballet teacher reacts to breakdancing. Like, I hate that so much. I hate it.
It's like, oh my god, it's so weird. What are they doing? I've never seen anything like this before. It's like, no shit, Mary, it's a different fucking thing.
Yeah, well, and the tone is, even when the tone is like, oh my god, I didn't think I was gonna like this, but I really love it. They're so talented. I hate the implication that, like, the blessing from somebody who does something a little more, like, yeah, prissy and classical is somehow, like, really meaningful.
The only thing, and here's a random plug that I'm gonna do, there is a guy on YouTube called Jace, and his YouTube channel is Jace In Your Face. He is a self-identified metalhead. He is this, like, just rock and roll dude with, like, a huge beard, and his entire channel is just him reacting to, like, pop songs, and he's a huge, like, Pentatonix fan now. So that's endearing, because he just, like, fucking, like, rocks out and is, like, doing the whole thing, like, devil horns up, like, listening to, like, Pentatonix do Hallelujah. And it's very cute, because it doesn't come from that place of, like, oh, I thought I was better than this.
I mind it less when it's, like, a subculture reacting to a more mainstream culture than vice versa.
Yeah, yeah.
But anywho, yeah, I'm just so happy for Lisa, and it's just nice. It's a good narrative. It's a good narrative, and it's like, it would make a good sports movie. You'd like to see an underdog. Yes. You'd like to see a comeback. You'd like to see somebody against the odds who's told that they can't do it. It's just, I want to see this movie. Like, where is this movie?
Make this movie, please. Let's talk about the 2021 world gold medalist, winner of it all, Anna Shcherbakova.
Again, I don't think she shouldn't have won. Like, I think given the way everything went down, I don't, even Lisa, like, even if Lisa had gotten her combo and everything, I don't know. I mean, Shcherbakova, yeah, is great. She's not exciting to me, but, like, and some of that's her fault and some of it's not. Maybe that's a bad way to phrase it, but it's, some of that is on the way she skates, and some of that is on, like, her programs and her costumes and her, not really her personality. I think she's actually really cute and endearing. That's a plus. But, you know, her coaches, the whole story around everything that went down with her and her teammates.
It's just hard to, like, appreciate it, knowing everything around. Like, and there's nothing new I can say. I'm going back to, like, stuff that I used to say about, like, Alina, who we haven't even seen in, like, a year and a half. I'm tired of seeing those girls look fucking terrified before they skate. And I'm tired of seeing, like, she fucking wins worlds. We're in the Kiss and Cry. We're getting results. We know she's about to win. She has that adorable reaction. Her eyes go, like, huge behind her mask. It's very, very sweet. And then the hell woman from hell with her garbage ramen hair, like, gives her, like, a one-armed, like, oh, I guess you've earned this kind of hug. And it's like, can you at least pretend to be human for, like, half a fucking second? Like, just makes me very upset. It's hard to celebrate their wins knowing, like, what little we know about what's around it.
Yeah, and, like, I want to say, like, specific to this program, or this competition, the short program in particular made me feel fucking insane. Because it was exactly what you were saying before, where she got these amazing PCS scores, and she came in, she was first in the short, ahead of not one, but two skaters who gave lovely performances, and both had triple axels, and that would be Lisa and Rika Kihira, who did fine in the short, and it was really the free where she fell apart. But I feel insane, because Shcherbakova has been, from day one, at the very forefront with Trusova, with Atari, as this is the future of women's figure skating. The future of women's figure skating is young, waifish teenage girls who are having these massive, massive, massive jumps that are really hard for anybody else to do if they're, like, have a more mature body or a more reasonable training environment. Mm-hmm. But that's what they're bringing to the table, and that's what you have to beat, and that's their thing. I felt fucking insane seeing her go out there with less of a technical component, not a single triple axel. I mean, quads aren't allowed in the shorts, so like obviously no quads, but not a triple axel, not one of these like big money, newfangled elements, and still beat everybody. Like, why? Based on what?
I agree. Her program, her short was beautiful. It was a very good short program. That's it. It was not anything that we've never seen before. And the jump components were a double axel, a triple flip, and then a triple lutz, triple loop in the second half, which that's
really hard. Yeah.
In this case, like that's, you have your combo with your edge jump is your second jump in the second half. Like that's a base value of 11 points, which is about as good as a quad. So that's why.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to undersell it, but it's wild to see. That's the kind of thing that would have been a make or break 5-10 years ago at Worlds.
Yeah.
Not now, under an era that she ushered in.
Any skater below her, I'm looking at them, and that includes, like, well, not Trisova, because she was fucking 12th in the short, but everyone below her, skating skills range from, like, 850, 9, like, whatever, for Rika, and then Lisa has, like, 850s, nothing above a 9. Like, her highest skating skill score is 875. Same with Karen. Here is, and I'm gonna sound like a crazy like casino person for a sec, but here is Anna Shcherbakova's skating skill PCS for her short program: 925, 950, 925, 925, 925, 950, 925, 925, 925.
Yeah, to me, I would have put Shcherbakova alongside like Luna Hendrix in the same category as like really good, really nice, not doing anything that is particularly original or unique, but doing the basics and the traditional thing really, really, really well. And I just don't see why there's that discrepancy on a logical level. Like, I have suspicions, but, you know, it just, yeah, that just made me angry and I was very confused. It, to me, it was actually like the most blatant show of absolutely unexcusable favoritism that I've ever seen in this sport, in this discipline.
Yeah, agreed. I think
recently. I mean, not
recently.
Ever,
there has
like,
been a lot. Yeah. There has been a lot in the history of the sport, but like no, as
in the last
recently,
few years.
Because even when it's what I just like shat on for 20 minutes, even when it's like what Trusova does, where it's like clearly like optimizing the rules as much as possible to get the points, you can see like the attempt. And this program was just fine. It was just fine. It was just fine. And I feel like I'm going insane, like, looking at, like, if you show me this protocol and I've never seen this program, I would be like, holy shit, this was probably, like, amazing from a program component point of view. And realistically, it was just a beautifully skated, normal program.
Yeah, and I don't want to, like, make it sound like she's bad. I think that I can see improvement. Like, the thing is, you know, a few years ago, people would say, oh, she's so graceful, she's so flowy, she's like a pretty fairy. And I'd be like, oh, she's a kid. I do feel like she has improved to live more up to that reputation. And now she does have like a certain level of like real grace and real flow. When you stack her up against her teammates, yeah, no question. When you stack her up against the other people in the world, it's like, no, like I wouldn't put her on those category of like grace and presence. I wouldn't put her higher than like Hae and Lee.
Yeah, I was gonna bring up the Korean ladies.
The Korean girls have that so effortlessly.
I think like if you tell me, okay, if you're like a person who's never seen figure skating and you're like, I want to see like a fairy like performance, I would go to like any one of the girls on like Team South Korea, because all of them have that quality. I think it's in terms of like a federation, I think that would be my go-to.
Even over Kosternaya for me personally, but that's a whole nother thing. And she wasn't there, which was really disappointing.
Hope she's
but anywho, I know. I hope she seemed really happy. Did you see the video of them all doing the Macarena while Atari was away? Because there's a video of her and Maya Kromik and one of the other girls whose names I just can't remember, but I can see her in my head. And they're in the horrible Russian hip-hop dance studio that they have doing the Macarena, and Aliona's like throwing it back and she's smiling. Like, it looks really, they looked like they were having a good time.
That's great. I like seeing that from them. kind of makes me sad, but also good.
Oh, yeah. It's sad. It's a little sad underneath, as is, like, pretty much everything that happens with Team Atari. I think, I don't know, man. I guess, the thing that I keep coming back to is that this is something that would have rightfully won Worlds. This, I mean, you know, Sherbakova's short and free.
In 2007. Easy.
Yes, in 2007. Easy. Easy, easy, easy. No question. Nowadays, with the bar raised so significantly by her, among other people, I'm like, okay. Other people screwed up, though. And so it's like...
It's one of those things. Also, I would like to apologize to Miki Ando, who did win in 2007, and we were just like, fuck Miki Ando, right?
No, Miki Ando is one of my very favorites of all time, and also has quads, or did at one point, so...
Yeah, I was like, what happened in 07? And I had to open it up to just remember. But yes, oh God, what a good age. The thing is, for any like age of figure skating, I open up like an event from like 07 or like the early 2000s or like 88. And I open it up, I'm like, what a good age. And I feel like one day we're going to look at figure skating now and be like, God, remember when?
I already look back at skaters. If I think of my least favorites, skaters, the ones that I bitched about the most from like the early days of this podcast, like Zagitova and Tursunbaeva, now I look back and I'm like, God, I would give anything to see them compete again.
Same. I would kill for a Tursunbaeva moment with Can her like imagine? Funky short hair and stuff. I would be into it. This is sad.
I want to throw this out there. I have So obviously, when we complain about scoring and everything, you know, we're not alone. We see a lot of similar takes on the internet. Mm-hmm. And I've seen a few interesting, like, suggestions of ways things can improve that I would be curious to talk about. Like, one of them is something that I can't really attribute to one specific person. I think that has just been around in the air is, like, this notion that, like, figure skating would go the way of gymnastics, where there's individual events as well as an all-around, and so there would be like a quads competition in addition to just like who can have a nice program. I know that would be so much of a change. I personally would like it.
I think that I would need to think more about it, because it also makes successes a lot less universal in the sport. And I'll explain what I mean. The World Cup, the Rhythmic Gymnastics World Cup, just happened in Sofia at the same time as Worlds, which was stressful for me. And I think overall, Bulgaria's team, they won, but they won like 6 golds and like 7 of something else's. And there is never like the definitive. It kind of becomes like the Olympic event, the team event at the Olympics or World Team Trophy or something. There is never like this is the winner. Because it's like, oh, here's the winner of this one event. Like, here's the quad winner. And here's the spiral sequences winner. And like, here's the choreo winner. And it kind of separates. I'm not saying that it would be worse. I'm just saying it kind of like gets rid of that overall, this is the champion of this year.
Yeah, I honestly would be fine with that, because I think that the alternative is what we have now, which is like there is one champion for this year, and it's almost never,
yeah,
like for it's almost never completely 100% this person's the best at everything. So yeah, I guess it just depends on like do you well, and it would have to be averaged, right? I haven't seen gymnastics in a long time, but...
They just changed scoring, so I have no idea what's happening.
I have no idea. Well, Summer Olympics is coming. We have plenty of time to talk about it. But anyway, yeah, I think that's... Your point is really, really good. Like, that's what it is like, is skating about being the best overall, or is it about appreciating what different people bring to the table? And I think the scoring system is more geared towards the former, and the way I appreciate the sport is more geared towards the latter. And so it's like... It just depends. It's like my personal, yeah, but like, does everyone feel that way? Okay, so here's the other proposition that I had heard. And it was in relation to the men's, and it was a tweet that I believe I retweeted on my account. It was, I think, would apply well to everybody, which is like, why did the PCS, they called it like the PCS corridor, which I don't know if that's an official term or more of like a nickname for what goes on, but it's the idea that like all the PCS scores tend to be the same and you never see anybody with like a 6 in choreo, but like a 10 in skating skills.
Yeah.
But you should.
Yeah, because like if you give me Benoit Rochelle choreography, the choreography is going to fucking slap and I'm going to not be good at doing it. Like, those are different things.
Absolutely. And I think that's where you could potentially reward what Jackie was saying about everybody having a different thing that they bring to the table. Mm. That's where you could kind of start to quantify that a little bit and say, okay, well, Yuzu has better transitions than Nathan. And I don't really think anybody would argue with that, even, you know,
Nathan.
The most like, even Nathan, literally no one would argue with that. I don't think it's just true, you know, and then that's where you can start. But it's like this weird thing where they're all like attached on a sliding scale and they just... So I don't know. I think that would be really good because then you could say, okay, performance, you know, really good on some of these ladies skaters, whereas like transitions better on the others, or is choreography better on the others? And then that I would really like to see.
I think every single time we try to fix the judging system and we go on those like hypothetical tangents, we always arrive at the same station. And that station is, if PCS was functional, we would not be having any fucking problems. If the judges were using PCS the way PCS should work on paper, it would be fine.
That's true. And then I think about that thing that they proposed of like having an artistic program and an athletic program or some shit, or a technical program.
I think that is kind of, I feel about that kind of like I feel about like having different events in kind of like in gymnastics. It kind of breaks my heart a little just because I think that the beauty of the sport is combining the athleticism with the beauty of it. And I feel like it's picking it apart if we pick it apart. Like, otherwise it feels like, well, let's make an event for everything so that everyone can win something. Which, I don't know if that's the direction.
So I think that separating it out like that is like leaning into the way things are already done, which is like a person who is min-maxed really like heavily towards tech and a person who's min-maxed really heavily towards artistry are being judged on like a way that doesn't make any sense with comparison to each other. And as long as that's going to continue, it's like, yeah, maybe it makes sense to separate. Whereas I think if it could be fixed to make it more balanced, then we wouldn't need that. So I don't know. We're not mathematicians. This is just, it's just the same old, it's the same old, same old.
What if we balance base values to make more sense, where a good triple, like a clean, beautiful, perfect triple gets rewarded, it's due. And also we mandate that everyone take PCS seriously. And there, I fixed it.
There you go. You got it. I think it's funny to me that it's just, it's like, you know, if you're like a, like if you're a gamer, if you're a real gamer,
I'm
probably not either, but if you play games, you know that on, at least nowadays, like on computer games and console games, like with things access to the internet, you get all these patches all the time that are like, we fixed it. It's a balance patch. We fixed the fact that this one character was OP and this one mechanic was making it so you could do this, and we fixed it. And it's like, can we get video game developers to do that for figure skating? Because the way that it's like every 2 years a council of fucking arcane elders come together and fight and then nothing changes, that ain't it.
Yeah, it truly ain't it. I don't have anything else to say about this. It will continue to break my heart and make my head hurt for as long as this sport exists. You know what I do want to say in closing? This will be my final argument, Your Honor. I was thinking about the difference between the girls, the women's event and the men's event in this world, and what Jackie was saying about the individual styles and all of that. And I was wondering what my one wish would be for the Olympic year. And for the Olympic Games themselves. I think what I want to see in women's is the same thing that I get from watching men's, where like the top 15, I'm like, I care about whatever you're bringing to the table. I know you might not podium, but this is interesting and exciting to me. And I care about this side of the sport a lot more than I care about watching someone try so very hard to podium, but watching their 4 minutes on ice looks like a liability.
Yeah, and I also think that it is my hope, it is my optimistic hope, that in 10 or so years, the ladies' field will be like that. Because if we think of women's skating as maybe like 10 years behind men's in terms of this quad revolution, if we look back to Worlds or Olympics in like the early thousands, when it was like some of the guys have a quad and is it fair, and are the other, every guy is, you know, breaking their necks trying to get a quad. And that's why a lot of people have this image in their head of like, I can't watch men's figure skating because it's just falling and falling and falling and falling.
Yeah,
which like,
and now it's the
sort of less so now. Yeah, sort of less so now. Yeah. And now we have like Yuzu, Nathan, Misha, you know, et cetera, et cetera, people who have these full packages that are all unique. And maybe that's, maybe we just need time. We need like a decade or so for the ladies to settle into this new normal and then put out these future stars.
I'm excited. This is hopeful.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for tuning in to this overview of the past, future, and present of figure skating. We'll be back next week to talk about men. In the meantime, Megan, where are you on the internet and in life?
On the internet and in life, I am in a state of constant confusion. It's but if you want to find me on Twitter, I'm at Megan Kelleher 3. That's MEGHANKELLEHER 3. I'm also that on Instagram. How about you, Netta?
You can find me at Netta Marie, that's N-E-D-A, and then Marie, like any Marie in the world, on Twitter and Instagram. You can also follow me at N_ice skating on Instagram if you want to see my progress towards my very first figure skating competition in my life. You can also find both of us at IcedPod on Twitter and Instagram. We retweet and post memes and talk about things in real time as they happen, which is awesome. And like we said in the break, if you want to support us and help us support others, you can go to patreon.com/IcedPod to get involved and do that and keep the lights on for us.
And if you join our Patreon, you can join the likes of the amazing Barbara, Sunny, Erin, Barbara. We have two Barbaras? Wow. Nikki, Sally, Joseph, Susan, KM, in spirit, I am always throwing plushies at Evgeny Medvedeva, Jennifer, Heath, Jules, Danny, and Jordan. I do want to say, like, if any of you are new, welcome. And what we typically do for basically every other competition is we will do honorable mentions of people who just were our favorites or struck us in some particular way that didn't, you know, rank high enough for to get on our, like, regular main chunk of the episode. And we do that every time, but this time we, there were so many, both because it was Worlds and because a lot of favorites didn't do as well as we thought. So that's going to be our Patreon bonus episode this time. We're going to do one that I think is ladies and men together. So yeah, our Patreon episodes range from like very, very silly, barely related to figure skating to like literally bonus content that could be on main feed. And so we're going more towards the latter this month. So check us out.
Unbelievably, we are. Thank you all so much. Once again, I've made this joke like 5 times this year. I keep thinking that this is the end of the season and it keeps not being the end of the season. It looks like we're getting world theme trophies, so we're also going to talk about that. But first, stay tuned for men next week. And in the meantime, stay safe, take care of yourselves, get vaccinated if you can. And we love you very much.
We love you. The sound I made earlier this week when I found out we were getting world team trophy, just unbelievable. Would have broken my microphone. We all know it's my favorite, and I can't wait to talk about this and more worlds with you guys. Stay safe. Love you. Bye-bye.
Bye.